the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salamu alaikum, and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. You're listening to us from Iran. We're going to speak about comparison of this life and hereafter.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so. I love you so.
But first, we look at the calendar. Today, Thursday, 14th of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of August, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to verse 32 of chapter An'am, and then we'll listen to its important point.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wama al-hayatu ad-dunya illa la'ibun wa lahwun. Waladdaru al-akhiratu khayrun lil-ladhina yattaqun. Afala ta'qilun.
And the worldly life is not but amusement and diversion, but the home of the hereafter is best for those who fear Allah. So will you not reason?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The resemblance of the world to play and pastime is found in the following aspects. The lifetime in this world is short, as the length of the time of a game. Similar to a game which contains of pleasure and tiredness, the world is also a combination of sweetness and bitterness. And some neglectful, aimless persons take playing games as their businesses. Anyhow, when the creator of the world knows the negligence of men from the coming world and being busy with the present world as play and pastime, why do we not believe in it?
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone. Anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Today's a special in comparison of this life and the hereafter. The reality is that the hereafter is the true life, and this world is only a means to prepare us for this true life. Allah has told us about the people who will realize on the day of resurrection that the hereafter is the true life and this world is only a means to prepare us for this true life. Allah has told us about the people who will realize on the day of resurrection that the hereafter is the true life, and they will be filled with remorse because they did not perform any good deeds for their eternal life. This person refers to the hereafter as my life once he understands that his life in the hereafter will last forever. He will be grieved when he sees that he has sent no good deeds forward for his life in the hereafter. Therefore, our most important goal in this life should be to perform many good deeds in preparation for our life in the hereafter.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, in this session we shall be talking about this world and the hereafter and how we can achieve the excess of both worlds, this world and the hereafter. The next point that we want to refer to about the relationship between this world and the hereafter and how can we achieve the success of both worlds is to focus and pay attention to wealth versus poverty or asceticism. Are we against wealth or are we for asceticism? Let's talk about it a bit. A question comes to mind. Does not Islam, like other religions, prefer poverty to wealth and affluence. The reality is that Islam does not consider poverty or affluence as the goal. The ultimate goal is submission to the will of God, and whatever helps that submission is preferred. Therefore, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Wealth which prevents you from injustice is better than poverty which pushes you towards sin." So what does Islam say about asceticism or zuhd? Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam explains the real meaning of asceticism in this way. Asceticism or zuhd in this world is neither neglecting your wealth nor making the permissible halal things into forbidden or haram. Instead, zuhd in this world means that your wealth should not be stronger to you in attachment than what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Let's have a short look at Muslim mindsets to live successfully in dunya and akhirah, means in this world and the hereafter. Life is like taking a trip, you know. Everything is temporary because after this trip you will go back to your home and continue your normal routine. During this trip, you stayed in a hotel. Sometimes the hotel room suits your taste, sometimes you don't like it very much. Either way, you don't try to fix the room or decorate it to your liking because, you know, it's only a vacation. It's temporary. The life is exactly the same, but some people live in this world as if they live here forever. When you see how temporary this life is, it will help you go through life events according to what Allah and the Prophet Muhammad require of us. You will live in moderation no matter how wealthy you are because, you know, you can't bring it into the grave when you die. This is today's special and one question. How can we strike the right balance? The obligation to live this life while providing for ourselves and our families effectively and by ensuring that we are not violating others' rights does create eternal conflicts that must be managed accordingly. We ought to adopt attitudes where our actions strike the right balance between any competing and conflicting situations. We need to remind ourselves that by respecting the tenets of halal or lawful and haram or unlawful as laid out by Allah, we can lead a life where we can make the most of this life while our hearts are always conscious of and devoted to Allah and the hereafter. He says in the Holy Quran, "O you who believe in the oneness of Allah, Islamic monotheism, eat of the lawful things that we have provided you with and be grateful to Allah if it is indeed He whom you worship." You can find this concept in Surah Al-Jum'ah, verse 172.
whatever we have, whatever we possess, is going to come and end. Believe me. Whether we have government, we are in the government, we are in the power, we are in the office, we are a monarch, we are a queen, we are king. No one can escape this. Everything comes to conclusion. Ma indakum yanfad, indeed. Whatever is with you is going to come to an end. Jibreel came to the Prophet, said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah is saying to you, there is a message, important message from God to you. أحبب ما شئت فإنك مفارقه. You may love and get attached to anything, to your house, to your business, to your money, to your car, to your cat, to your friends. You're going to part away. A moment comes, no more attachment. You have to leave and go. You go one way, they go another way. This is a reality. You may love anything, get attached to anything, get obsessed with anything. You would lose and you would miss and you would part away with that thing one day. It's not going to remain for you. ما عندكم ينفد وما عند الله باق ولنجزين الذين صبروا أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. And surely we shall render unto those who are patient. Why from among all these attributes, patience stands here, you know, prominent, important. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. We will render to those their price, their reward, to those who exercise patience. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam says, patience to faith is like the head to the body.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for listening to us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we meet you soon on the next episode of this program tomorrow. Same channel and same time. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. For the steadfast, a misfortune is only one, while it is twofold for the impatient. take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day. Here at IRIB English Radio, today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reason for the legislation of the wudu or the ablution. As you know, ablution or wudu is one of the ritual acts of worship that we Muslims perform before certain other acts. Like, for example, if a person wants to perform the ritual prayer, the salat, he has to perform the wuzu or the ablution. Or, for example, if he wants to perform the tawaf or the circling of the Kaaba in the pilgrimage to in Hajj, you know, he should perform wuzu. There's other, you know, acts as well. If he wants to touch the wordings of the Holy Quran or one of these things, he should also perform wuzu. In this hadith, we see the Imam, alayhi salam, speaking about and explaining the reason for this, why ablution has been prescribed and why is it necessary to perform ablution before these acts. Imam Ridha alayhi salam said the following. He said the following regarding the reason for ablution. He said, so, the reason for it is so that the servant is pure when he stands before the Mighty One, meaning before God, when engaged in supplication to him. Right? In, like, for example, in the prayer, the act of ritual prayer, the salat, we supplicate to God, we're praying to him. When we perform this wuzu, we are purified, so that we stand before him in a state of purity. In continuation, the Imam said, being obedient to him through what he has commanded him, purified of filths and impurities. And also, this was one of the reasons, so one of the reasons is that it removes these spiritual and also physical, perhaps, impurities from the person. But also because it does away with laziness and repels drowsiness. Ma'a ma fihi min dhihabil kasil wa tardin nu'as. Right? When we perform the wudu, you know, it eliminates the drowsiness and laziness we might have. Again, it gives us a little boost of energy before we go and perform our act of worship that we want to perform. Finally, the Imam said, and it purifies the heart for standing before the Mighty One. So maybe this last part of this hadith can serve as a clue, a qarine, that would indicate the fact that the purity that the Imam mentioned in the beginning of the hadith was kind of an allusion to the physical purity that that the wudu and the ablution brings about for this worshipper. And the last part of the hadith alludes to the spiritual purification of the heart meaning the soul of the person. And the effect mentioned in the middle is also, it could be related to, you know, something physical and also maybe a spiritual effect of the ablution. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reason for the prescription of the ablution in the words of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslim brothers and sisters actually. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again, alhamdulillah, with Brother Ali Nasir, Hussein, Hassan, and Fawad Haider. I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum jami'a. How are you? Fine. Everybody's fine?
Yes. Yes.
Great.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق. اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Inshallah, today we will talk about a very very important topic, okay? It's something really important. And Allah Almighty has emphasized on this a lot, okay, in the Quran. It's ayah 140 of Surah An-Nisa on page
100.
So before we start explaining about it, let's everybody listen to the recitation, then inshallah we'll get back.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وقد نزل عليكم في الكتاب أن إذا سمعتم آيات الله يكفر بها ويستهزأ بها فلا تقعدوا معهم حتى يخوضوا في حديث غيره إنكم إذا مثلهم إن الله جامع المنافقين والكافرين في جهنم جميعا.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. So let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah, okay? So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. Listen, it's very important, okay? Let me read the translation for you. Certainly, نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah Almighty has sent down to you in the book, a commandment in the book. Okay? What is that? That, and that, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ, when you hear آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, the signs of Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty's signs are being يُكْفَرُ بِهَا, being disbelieved, disrespected, وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا, and derided. Okay? It means people are, you hear that people are making fun of the principles of Islam, making fun of the Islamic teachings. Okay? If you are among a group of people who are doing these things, who are like talking about religion, talking about prophethood, about tawheed, whatever, okay, about prayers, about anything, and they are trying to be disbelievers, and on the other side they are making fun of religion, okay, what should you do as a Muslim, as a believer? What is your responsibility here? فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا. Allah Almighty commands that, what? Do not sit with them until they engage in some other discourse, until they change the topic. Okay? إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلَهُمْ. If you sit there, if you continue being with them, or else you too will be like them. Okay? Who does such kind of thing? Munafiq does that. Okay? So you will be, God forbid, as well like them. Then Allah Almighty says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah will gather the hypocrites and the faithless people فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا, in the hellfire all together. Let me give you some examples. God forbid, we are sitting in a majlis, okay? We are in a majlis. People are backbiting. They start backbiting, gossiping, ghaiba. You are a mu'min, believer. Ghaiba, backbiting is haram. Yeah? The punishment is so severe. Okay? Got it? Yes or no?
Yes.
It is haram. So if you hear he is backbiting, Amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. Yes, Hussain?
Sir, for example, we are sitting with people who are bigger than us,
and they are elder than you.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So what? There also we should tell okay. them.
So nahi anil munkar or amr bil ma'ruf is this way for you here. Okay. Look, if you can tell them to stop backbiting, tell them, but in a very respectful way. If they are elder than you, if they are smaller than you, also in a respectful way, in a very kind way, okay, kind way. So try to stop them, because backbiting is haram, and Allah Almighty's commandment is to stop backbiting. So look, the ayah or the commandment of Allah Almighty is being disrespected. People are not respecting, okay? So here your responsibility is this. Amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. How? I myself try my best, okay, to change the topic. When with families, okay, family members, when I'm there, okay, I do what? When they start backbiting, I try to raise a question from different topic. And everybody gets focused on that. The backbiting stops. Nobody is backbiting. Why? Because I could, with a trick, kind of change the topic. So this is one of the ways, okay? If you could, tell them to stop. If you think, if you tell them to stop, they might be angry on you, or they might not stop. They might even be more, they will emphasize more on backbiting, okay? Continue. So do one thing. Leave.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So, let's move on to the second part of our class, the Tajweed rules. Some of the very important ones I will mention, then inshallah we'll practice the recitation.
وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ قَدْ.
The letter dal is sakin, and you should read it with
a bouncing
sound or an echoing sound. قَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا. أَنْ إِذَا, there is no changes brought to the noon, okay?
إِظْهَار.
Yeah, إِظْهَار. Just read it. أَنْ إِذَا. Normally read it. أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا. تَقْعُدُوا, the letter qaf as well, is pronounced with an echoing
sound.
تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. Again, حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, no, normally read it, no changes. غَيْرِهِ changes to غَيْرِهِ if you stop. Since Jim tells us, it's equal, yeah? It's optional. You stop or?
Continue.
Innakum, nun mushaddad. Innakum, extend the sound and?
Nasal
read it
sound.
With?
Nasal
a?
Sound.
Nasal sound. Idhan mithluhum changes to? Idham mithluhum. Idgham, yes. Idham mithluhum. Qila tells you, Hassan, yeah,
better to stop,
but you still can continue, it's okay. Inna Allaha jami'ul munafiqin wal kafirin fi jahannam jami'an. Ready to repeat after me?
Yes.
Good job. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وقد نزل عليكم في الكتاب أن إذا سمعتم آيات الله يكفر بها ويستهزأ بها فلا تقعدوا معهم.
وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ.
فلا تقعدوا معهم حتى يخوضوا في حديث غيره
فلا تقعدوا معهم حتى يخوضوا في حديث غيره
إنكم إذا مثلهم
إنكم إذا مثلهم
إن الله جامع المنافقين والكافرين في جهنم جميعا
إن الله جامع المنافقين والكافرين في جهنم جميعا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Allah bless you, inshallah. See you in the next session with the next verses of Surah and Nisa. Stay with IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanted whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. In which we are going to deal with some of the questions and answers of jurisprudential nature related to the event of Arba'in, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddimat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws and Islamic laws related to the Arabain pilgrimage according to fatwas by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, in order to be entitled to all the rewards mentioned or related in the reports, about the Shia corpus or in the Shia corpus, for those who join the Arabain walk or undertake the Arabain pilgrimage, is it required to be in Karbala on the day of Arabain, or is it enough to be around that time? Can it be a day sooner or later?
Well, as you know, each year about 20 million or even more people attend the Arbaeen procession.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine it is quite impossible for all 20 million people to be together on the same day in Karbala, because the city does not have that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And the people of Iraq, though they are very much generous, they will not be able to handle the things and the affairs of the pilgrimage. So it is, although it's very much recommended to be in Karbala on the day of Arbaeen, but if it is practically impossible because of certain reasons, then it's okay to be there 1 day earlier or 2 days earlier. Or as we see, we see thousands of pilgrims take part in the procession or in the rally even 1 week earlier,
mm-hmm.
because they do not want to be there in the crowd. They want to, the crowd is there, but it is not as heavy as it is on the day of Ashura. So it is important to note that undertaking the pilgrimage to Karbala to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is a very commendable deed, a very highly recommended act. And of course, there is tremendous reward regardless of the occasion. Mm-hmm. Even if we fail to be there on the day of Arba'een, mm-hmm. obviously we will gain the reward. But securing the reward specified for the pilgrimage on the day of Arba'een, and which is associated mm-hmm. with this day, is contingent. It depends on performing it on a specified occasion. If it does not occur and because of certain restrictions it's not possible, mm-hmm. then one can do and perform the ziyarah of Arba'een a day later or a day earlier with the intention or in the hope of securing the rewards specified in the Shia corpus for Arba'een pilgrimage.
I see. So rest assured that the reward is there. Are going to get the reward.
The reward is there, of course.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Well, there's another question somehow related to this, Sheikh Javid. Somebody said, I am the supervisor of one of the caravans that undertake the Arba'een pilgrimage on foot. We arrive in Karbala before the day of Arba'een, and the question he raised is it necessary to be present in Karbala on the day of Arba'een to count as having performed the Arba'een pilgrimage? Or can we leave Karbala before the day of Arba'een in order to avoid the overwhelming crowds of that day?
Well, there is no mandatory Sharia ruling about leaving Karbala prior to the day of Arba'een, as I said earlier. You know, unless the caravan management or its members have made an agreement to be in Karbala on the day of Arba'een. Mm. So it depends, because sometimes the pilgrims want to be there on the day of Arba'een. So actually the management or the people who are responsible should actually manage things to help the pilgrims be there on the day of Arba'een. But if it is impossible, then that they are not to blame, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it is good. It's very much recommended to be there on the day of Arba'een. But if it's not possible, then one can perform the ziyarah and the visitation a day earlier or 1 week even earlier.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the some of the jurisprudential laws about Arba'een pilgrimage or event with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, due to the overwhelming crowds that converge in Karbala on the day of Arba'een, it is very difficult to try and attempt to enter the holy shrine of Imam Hussein, or even the sacred distance between the shrines of Abul Fazl al-Abbas and of Imam Hussein, peace be upon them both. Well, for some, it is practically impossible, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, trying to push one's way through may hurt fellow pilgrims. As such, can we pay our respects and homage and conclude our pilgrimage there? Or do we have to enter the holy shrine and conclude our pilgrimage there? Or do we have to enter the holy shrine?
Well, you asked me a very good question. I did get you understood you the question. So obviously it is permissible to conclude one's pilgrimage at a distance from the holy shrine. It's not necessary to enter and walk one's way through the crowd to reach the chamber, because as you rightly mentioned, it is practically impossible. And as you may have gone there is so much crowd and so much pressure around the chamber that you feel like you will be ending up having one of your ribs broken,
mm-hmm.
because of the too much pressure that is there.
Mm-hmm.
So in the event that one is very much likely to get seriously hurt.
Or not to mention a stampede.
Yes, it is very much likely. So it is very much prudent and very much important that one stand at a distance from the chamber and do the ziyarah, because it's not mentioned in any Shia books to go close to the chamber and hold firmly by the chamber and start crying or reciting the ziyarah. That's not possible. So I think the Iraqis do take care of the pilgrims who want to there, but there are some people who are under the impression
mm-hmm.
that his ziyarah will not be accepted unless he goes close
touches
to the
shrine, yeah, for example.
Yeah, he clings to the chamber.
Yeah.
That's not the correct way of pilgrimage, because they're all very weak people. It's not good to push them, because if you push one pilgrim, he might get hurt, and it's not good.
Yes.
You know, there are some very strong, sturdy, rich, strong, sturdy, and powerful people who can easily push the weaker ones aside and get close to the chamber. That's not good, because it's a violation of the people's rights.
Exactly.
So it's very necessary to stand at a distance and just read the supplication and engage in dua.
That's not logical, actually, to do an unlawful act in order to do a recommended act.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program. Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Until another session with us, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein plan to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new lands.
Every night and every day.